Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Tell about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove between the demo and the ready room. Hey, come out Friday, June 3rd. There's a whole new shipment of vinyl coming in. New records from Panic at the Disco, Mavis Staples, Elliott Smith, Ray LaMontagne, Lake Street Drive, Tame Impala reissues, Motley Crue reissue, Pink Floyd, Paul Simon, and all kinds of stuff going on. So if you want a full listing of this, check out the event on Facebook or musicrecordshop.com, and you can check that out. So yeah, and then Friday, June 3rd, I mentioned, there's free Four Hands beer going on. They've got record spinning and 10% off any purchase. So they do this all new music happy hour every Friday. So come out, check those out, and be sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for exclusive deals all the time. And also be sure to check out their always growing local music selection. Check out the shelves over there. They've got tons of great CDs, tapes, and vinyl of some of your favorites around town. And if you want to get your stuff on the shelves, be sure to reach out and ask them about how you can make that happen. Again, follow them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, episode 225, hanging out with Kevin Harvell, right? Did I say that right?
Harvell, like barbell, only with an H okay. And a V.
All right. I should have asked before. I've done a couple of these and I've said their name wrong and they've corrected me right away, but I always feel bad. Mispronouncing, I should have probably asked before we got going, but
that's okay.
But yeah, man, thanks for hanging out. I'm excited to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, it's been fun. We just got done having a nice discussion, and it's going to be fun having a discussion for me on the other side of the table, per se.
Yeah. So I was just a guest on your show, Who's Who in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And but you also do, at least one other podcast, right?
Yeah. So, okay, just to give the quick rundown, we got the Who's Who in St. Louis show. We've got the Tech Informist for consumer technology devices and stuff like that. And then I host and produce everything VR and AR, obviously about VR and AR devices. And then I produce the MS Mobile show. So that's a couple guys, Vernon E.L. Smith out of Fargo, North Dakota, and David B. Kimball out of, he lives in like the Seattle, Washington area. And I produce their show.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Busy.
Yeah. So being, like I said, we were just did Who's Who in St. Louis. Let's talk about that. Like what gets you into wanting to do a podcast all around St. Louis about?
Well, I used to do, and I think whenever we first kind of connected online, I was doing the STL Tech Talk. And, I mean, again, you know, I love technology. St. Louis is a great startup scene for technology and healthcare and all that stuff. But I kind of found that my guest list was not necessarily limited, but I knew that there was more that I wanted to talk to, and you know, having somebody on like you, for example, you wouldn't have been a fit for STL Tech Talk. Mm-hmm. So that's why I just totally haven't necessarily shut that show down. It's still live, but I haven't recorded an episode since September of 2015. Yeah. But I created the Who's Who in St. Louis show so I could just talk to anybody about anything and learn more about the people and places of St. Louis, because I mean, I think we've all got some great stories to tell, and it's got me to pay more attention to St. Louis history.
Right.
Because I'm learning something new every single day, because I follow, I think it's like Vintage St. Louis. It's a page on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Sonderman puts out every morning like five or something things on this date in St. Louis history. So I love just learning about that stuff and then, you know, yeah, talking to other people in St. Louis that I admire or look up to. Frank O'Pinion, large morning show in the afternoon, mm-hmm, a 30-plus year radio veteran.
Right.
I mean, I love his show, and just to have him on my show as episode two,
yeah,
was just fantastic. I was like fanboying with,
sure,
him. And he told me on the phone whenever he called to set up the appointment, he's like, so why do you want to have me on the show? I'm like, are you really that humble?
Yeah.
And he said it again when we were recording. Like, I still don't understand why you want me. I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
Don't be so humble.
Right. I had that moment a while back with Radio Rich Dalton.
Mm.
Again, a guy who's been in KC and K-Hits music for, well, he did that for, I don't know, 30, maybe 40 years, something like that. Been at a long time, but he recently branched off to do his own thing with Musical Roots. Was more online,
right,
content. And but anyway, so we talked with him about that, and it was just a real treat to sit and talk to a guy that's got that much, just a giant wealth of knowledge about music and rock and roll trivia and history and stuff. So telling me stories about like playing pinball with Stevie Nicks and stuff. I was like, I just, you know, who has stories like that?
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Only DJs,
yeah,
radio DJs have stories like that.
Right.
I don't even think they'd be able to have those kinds of stories these days, because the industry's not the same.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad. We don't have those real connections, I think, with St. Louis DJs like we used to. I mean, John Hewlett just celebrated 40 years at KC.
Yeah.
I mean, 40 years with one radio station.
Right.
Like, unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a guy I would love to get on my show sometime just to...
Same here,
yeah,
man. Same here.
I had his co-host. I had Learn on the show.
Okay.
We sat at Blueberry Hill and hung out and had a nice talk, and which was a lot of fun. Just so I've been trying to get some various radio personalities in there, but I just because I'm a fan of them too. But yeah, I try. My show is all over the place, like I said. So it's cool to. But yeah, man. I would, Frank O'Pinion, he's a guy. I'm not real familiar with this show, but I know. And obviously, I know the name, and he's, yeah, he's a guy that a staple in you know, radio for sure. So.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Mark Williams, and we only recently met in person just like a month or so ago, but we've interacted online before because, I mean, he puts out the 3 hours of Frank O'Pinion's Large Morning Show in the afternoon out as podcast form. He just takes the 3 hours and splits it up in each episode, or each hour is like, mm-hmm, one episode. So that's how I'm actually able to listen to every single episode, because I'm usually busy between 3 to 6
yeah,
in the afternoon. And it was just great that he does that. So, yeah,
it's, yeah,
a great way to do that.
I know, like, The Point, the Woody and Riz show,
mm-hmm,
they do that. They put their show on as a podcast, and whatever, I guess it's... Patrico and all them known, but anyway, they put that on as a podcast, and there's a couple of different radio stations that are doing more, taking their live radio show and then putting it on in a podcast format for listeners. And I'm a big Stern fan. He's a guy a lot of inspiration for doing this show. He's just kind of been a guy that I admired for years. I started listening to his show once I graduated high school. I started working construction for a while, and so I was actually up early enough to listen and things, and not in school. So I started listening, and I just love the way he has a conversation with a guest, and like, it just sounds like there's two old buddies hanging out,
yeah,
and of course Robin and Fred being there too, but it's almost like a fly on the wall type of situation. Like, there's not even that they're talking about the show. It's just they're having this great conversation, just friends. And so that's kind of how I always wanted to approach my show and going into it. But so I've, you know, I've been a fan of radio and stuff for a long time. But these guys like him, but he you know, he hates podcasting for some reason. He like bashes
on
the
wall. Yeah, I haven't figured that out yet. I don't know if it's because he doesn't think that he can monetize at it and make money, but I'm like, you know, when you got Mark Maron having the president of the United States in your garage, your two-bedroom apartment house, condo, whatever it is that Mark Maron lives in the garage.
Yeah,
there's a little bit, there's a little something to podcasting.
Sure. Yeah, he, I don't know what's, he's talked about it, and, you know, people bring it up a lot because of that fact, you know, everybody's like, a lot of people that are listening to the show also like podcasting, and that's, well, Stern, essentially his show would be a great podcast.
It would because be. It'd be the perfect podcast.
Because he left radio to go to satellite for, so he could have more freedom and uncensorship and everything, so everything of that is a highlight of podcasting. So
all he's got to do is take his hours and just push them out. That's all you'd have to do. It'd be easy.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't get it.
There's I don't know. I don't know if sometimes I wonder with him, like, how much of it is you know, for real, and how much of it's like a shtick for the air, like, you know, just a talking point, because, you know, it's obviously he's filling up 4 hours of content every day,
right?
Well, or three days a week now, or whatever he's doing, but you know, still, it's like that's a lot of content to sit out there and just talk and you know. But yeah, so I don't know. Sometimes I think maybe those are just kind of topics that he can throw out there and he can run with it for a while. And but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, society gives us plenty of things that we can all sit and discuss. I mean, if I really just broke everything down and just focused on one show, I'm sure I could fill probably two.
Yeah.
I could probably fill at least 2 hours, just probably even just by myself, of things that I see in the daily news. Like, really, people, why are you doing that? And going off on people.
Yeah. Is it, would you ever consider doing a show like that by yourself? Or
I've thought about it. Yeah. I've got a lot of show ideas in my mind, but I'm like, man, I've only got so much time. I mean, I did have another show idea in mind that was kind of more of a nostalgic kind of show, because I'm just an old soul. So I thought, yeah, maybe I'll do something about, you know, things that I enjoyed growing up, 80s, 90s, 70s, stuff like that. But I just let the domain expire. I'm like, yeah, I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for something like that, I'd probably want at least a co-host and maybe one other person. I'd like to, I think that would be a three. I have to have three people for that show total. That way we'd each bring something to the show to kind of fill some time.
Excuse me.
It's all right. We can always edit that out.
There's one I listen to, Matt Bronger. He's another comic I like, and he does a show called Ding Donger with Matt Bronger.
Okay.
And it's just him by himself talking about, essentially, it's like a maybe like a journal entry type of deal. You know, he kind of talks about what he's up to, and, you know, he doesn't really get too many topical things. It's more like what he's got going on as a comedian, you know, this where he's at. So it's fun to listen to, but it's also like, man, I can't imagine trying to do it by yourself, like doing a show with no guest and you know, just you rambling into a microphone for an hour and stuff. That would be hard for me. I do well with a guest or at least a co-host, like where I have somebody to bounce things off of and things.
Yeah. You put me in a big social setting, I am quiet. You will only see me pretty much walking around or like being in the corner.
Right.
But put me with just like one or two people, maybe three, I'm fine.
Sure.
Like this, I'm completely comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm completely at ease of either hosting or being a guest. But big social gatherings, no, that is not my thing.
Right. Yeah, I'm pretty good about all of it. I do a lot of networking. I'll be out, you know, meeting people. And that's essentially the show is great for that, you know, for me. Like, and if there's somebody I want to meet or, you know, get to know better, I'll just invite them on the show, because it's going to be a great opportunity for us to hang out for an hour or two and talk, and, you know, and then by the end of it, we're buddies and we have each other's information and things. So it's always, again, just a great networking. So,
yeah.
But yeah, like I do a lot. I'll go to shows and I'll meet all kinds of people. I'll talk to strangers and, you know, it doesn't bother me.
That's not me. I can't really, like, yeah. It's not that I have something against it, but
sure.
I don't know. That's not my comfort zone.
Yeah. For me, I think, like, also with when I go to shows and I start talking to random people, it's like I feel like we already have something in common because mm-hmm. we're at the same show. So yep. we like the same music. You know, so it's always something. At least we can start with that and right. see where it goes. But there's a lot of times I go to shows by myself, so that's when I'll end up having to start, you know, talking because I get bored just looking at my phone or whatever. So
yeah, well, I completely understand. Yeah.
So what was the push then to get you into podcasting?
Well, with STL Tech Talk, it was just it was started just as a website, and you know, I was just writing about smartphone applications and reviewing smartphones and things like that. And then I met JJ Hammond, who was kind of he loves music as well, and he used to play some stuff on his own personal level. And he asked me if I had thought about doing a podcast, and I said, "Yeah, but you know, that was when I was still kind of shy and kind of in my own little shell." And said, well, it's not something I could ever just do by myself. So we started the STL Tech Talk podcast, and I mean, when I started, I was kind of being the lead host. Those episodes were horrible. I look back and I listen, I kept them live, I didn't pull them down, but you know, listening back, it's like, God, it is so horrible, but I like doing that just to see how far that I have come.
Right.
Because I've gotten a lot more comfortable doing this. And he, for health reasons, kind of had to step away from Tech Informist co-hosting and kind of put a little bit more emphasis on me being the main host. And that was in January of 2015 is when I really started, like, really coming in to my own when it came to podcasting.
Mm. Yeah, I relate a lot to what you just said there, like, because I feel like when we got started, when me and Chris started this show, neither of us had really done a lot of radio or podcasting or anything, but so it was a lot of learning as we went, and it's like, so those early episodes are pretty rough. I mean, they're still fun, but like as I listen to today's episodes, like, it's just like I realize how far I've grown, and like, and it is like, it's kind of fun in that sense, like, again, to go back and listen and like, you know, realize where how you've developed, and it's also kind of embarrassing at times, like, to know those are out there, but people were listening, you know, people were growing with me, and like, you know, those that have been listening the whole time, you know, they, so it wasn't like I feel like I compare it sometimes to music, you know, some singer-songwriters or whatever, they'll be in their bedroom practicing guitar or trying to get better and stuff, and then go out and try to play a show once they, you know, maybe practice for a year and things. All me, I went out there and started right away, and everybody got to watch and as I learned. So
yeah, watch the dumpster fire get put out.
Yeah, right. So
no, it is fun, and it's really kind of got me to be a better, like, one-on-one and just, again, in small groups, being a better mm-hmm. conversationalist and coming up with things to really talk to people. And mm-hmm. that's what I like about it.
Yeah. So so tech's been a pretty big part of your life then?
Yeah, it has, you know, growing up with, you know, Atari 2600, a Commodore 64 computer, and getting into where I was putting my own computers together and still playing video games and all that. And I've always loved electronic things mm-hmm. and, you know, taking apart stompers and seeing if I could somehow upgrade them to do, that was always horrible. After I put them back together, they didn't work as well. So I'm great at taking them apart, but putting them back together is a whole other story.
Right. Well, is it more like gaming or computers or any particular favorite part of that you really like? Or
no, not really. I mean, I could do a gaming podcast, but I don't have time to play as many games as I'd like to. Mm-hmm. Within the past couple of weeks, though, I have been able to play a little bit of Call of Duty on my PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. I'm still a generation behind. Don't shoot me. But yeah, I love smartphones, and I like just taking my SIM card out and putting it in a different phone. I've got one of each platform. I've got an iPhone, I've got an Android device, and I've got a Windows phone that, you know, I kind of rotate between.
Huh.
I think each platform offers everybody something different.
Right.
And that, you know, when given the chance, I think it's just good to try everything out and see. I'm not really huge on the whole fanboy wars, like Xbox sucks or PlayStation sucks. No.
Right.
Just, they're each great at their own thing. Like, just come on.
Yeah. So then you're so you're getting this podcast going and things, and then what? I mean, how do you go about like getting into booking guests and things? Like, what is like? Is it just people you know, or are you reaching out to meet new people and stuff?
With Who's Who in St. Lou, that show, it's just, you know, because I think everybody's got a story, and I like talking to people that may not be as well known just as much as I want to talk to people that are well known. Mm-hmm. You know, I love Schlafly beer, so St. Louis Brewing Company. You know, getting a chance to talk to Tom Schlafly was, I mean, that's like, woohoo, Coop de Gur, you know, it was like the ultimate.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking to him about what he thinks are some of his favorite beers from Schlafly and things that were, that surprised him, and just how well the public, you know, they just demand it. I think it's their Oktoberfest beer. It's like, I had no idea it was going to take off like that.
Yeah.
Just being able to talk to different people in St. Louis and share their stories, mm-hmm. is what I love to do.
Right.
So I just reach out to people. You know, I'll try to find out a way to contact them via email. Typically, I'll start out on Twitter. I'll find out there, and then if I'm like, yeah, I don't want to reach out to them on Twitter, I'll, you know, go to their website or something and just track down an email address.
Yeah.
Or with Tom Schlafly, for example, I just contacted, you know, the contact form on Schlafly.com, and it led me to him. I mean, he actually, they pushed it over, the invite over to him within like 20 minutes of me doing that, and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden I'm in this email chain between him and the other co-founder of Schlafly, and I'm like, oh, sweet. So I get Tom. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's just really neat how this stuff happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I've listened to a few. I've listened because you had a couple of my friends on. We talked a little bit off mic, but Jeff Nations of Various Hands has been on my show twice.
Yeah, fantastic. So, God, it was so enjoyable talking to him.
Yeah, great guy, great musician. And then Kelly Mano, again, I wouldn't say we're friends, but I know of her, and I know her husband more than I know her.
Right.
But yeah, she was another great interview on the show.
She's a hoot.
Yeah.
Something else.
Yeah. So do you, those are two very enjoyable episodes. I mean, and then you said Tom, are those, do you have another particular favorite guest that moments that you would think of?
Let's see.
Not that the other ones are bad or anything, but
I don't know. It's kind of interesting, you know, talking with Mike from Gus the Fun Bus.
Yeah,
that was, I mean, because he's kind of a quiet, soft-spoken guy. I mean, it was fantastic getting a chance to talk with him and learn more about him and, you know, mm-hmm. how this whole Gus the Fun Bus started. It's just a party bus, and mm-hmm. you know, do winery trips, brew crawls and stuff like that. And he's so active on social media, and I mean, he's done so much to help expose the show to other people just because of social media. He always retweeting stuff. Talking to Rick Shaper from Dogtown Pizza. I mean, that was awesome. I mean, I love Dogtown Pizza, so getting a chance to talk to him and learn more about the company and how it happened and taking a tour of the facility, it was like, that was just awesome. Yeah. I love that stuff.
And do you get all your guests here at the studio, or?
No, not all of them. Yeah. Sometimes, because before I used to be, you know, pretty much mobile, and if you actually looked under the counter, you'd see the big red suitcase that I would keep these mic stands and stuff in, and so it was kind of a mobile setup. But I've tried to keep things more, to bring people here to Tech Artista, where we've got the podcast studio now, so I'm kind of more set in one spot, so I just try to have people come here, and I think it's nice, you know, we've got acoustic foam to try to help sound deadening and soundproofing. I don't really know all the terminology.
And that's a good location in the in town and stuff. So
yeah, I mean, Central West End is a great neighborhood, and I'm learning again more and more about it. Another past guest, Susie and Jennifer, a mother and daughter team that runs Savor St. Louis, which does food walking tours in the Central West End and the Del Mar Loop U City area. I mean, I can't wait to take one of their tours here now that the weather's been nice for a while, but the schedule's kind of freeing up. Just getting a chance to, whenever I kind of like, quote unquote, burned out, I need a break from working here in the office, to just walk around this area. It's really nice, and it's very historic, and I want to learn more about it.
Yeah. Is there a certain kind of a bucket list of guests that you would love to get on the show?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, if I opened up my kind of wish list, you got names like Red Shandy, Whitey Herzog, Ozzy Smith, Brett Hull, people that are, like, well-known that we grew up with. Like Larry Connors and stuff like that, Julius Hunter, just people that we've seen on TV for years. John Hewlett from Casey.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to have him on the show.
Sure.
There's just so many people I'd love to have on.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's, of course, you can always talk about baseball with him, too.
Exactly. He's been the PA announcer for Cardinals for years.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be cool. You mentioned Larry, like that. There's some of those news anchors I met. Sandy.
Sandy Miller.
Yeah, I met her through an event. It was like a trivia night thing, and I met her there, and she was very nice. And I met Art Holliday. When I was in high school, I studied. I was in journalism with the class, and I wrote for the school paper. And we went to Mizzou for a journalism event up there. And Art Holliday was a guest speaker and stuff. And we just got to shake his hand and say hey and stuff. But
Art Holliday came through a car wash I used to work.
Oh, yeah?
I briefly worked that part-time in, like, 97, I guess it was, out in Crestwood. I was like, oh, my God, you're Art Holliday.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I'm sure you do know.
All right. But yeah, those I would love to get some of those people too. Like they all, I'm sure. And then like my show, Rocker Podcast, has always been music comedy based. But I mean, I always we always leave it on there as other interesting people. I'm not opposed to talking to anybody that's got a cool story to tell. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's just this fun to sit there and get that like nice conversation going with somebody and stuff. So
if anybody listening can help hook me up with some of these people I've mentioned, please don't hesitate to let me know.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That would be pretty awesome, though, to get some of those people on there.
Oh, yeah.
Is there I guess growing up, you just mentioned off mic, I guess, but we were live in Festus area, but I mean, has St. Louis always been home? Or
pretty much, yeah. I grew up in Jefferson County. I graduated from Northwest R1 when it was in House Springs. It's now in Cedar Hill, which is the town I grew up in. And yeah, so I graduated back in 94. And yeah, so I'm now 40. I've hit that peak.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from there, so they say.
I've been making that joke ever since like high school, like that. That's when I figured it all been downhill, because once I left high school, then I had to go get a real job and all. And so it's like
I don't want an adult today. I'm tired of adulting.
Yeah.
And all these new aches and pains. It's like, I just turned 40 in March, and it's like these last month and a half, all these different pains. I'm like, oh, my God. And, of course, my dad says, just wait. You got another 20, 30 years to catch up to me, and it gets even worse. I'm like, oh, thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
It doesn't give me much to look forward to.
Right. What are you able to make this like a career now and stuff doing this, or are you still involved in day job stuff too? And
no, So I have a special needs stepson who's 25. Yeah, he's 25 this year, And so that's kind of, I do some healthcare caretaker stuff with him 32 hours a week. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like how I contribute to the household now, because I used to do IT work at Visitation Academy in West County for a while, and I just kind of got burned out on doing computer work.
Yeah.
Because people would always ask, hey, can you work on – no, I don't want to do that away from home, just like a doctor doesn't want to diagnose your aches and pains when he's off away from the office. So, yeah, so that's how I bring in money there. So this podcasting – so I do some podcast production, obviously, for everything VR and AR. That's a show from the VR AR Association here in St. Louis that reached out to me wanting to know if I'd want to be involved in producing the show and originally being a co-host. But since then, due to the – co-host and founder of the association, Nathan Pettyjohn, his schedule's just kind of all out of whack with Isle 411. I'm kind of the lead host for that show now. Mm-hmm. So I do get paid for that show. But everything else is just, I'm just kind of doing it for my own personal pleasure.
Sure.
But, you know, if anybody wants to start a podcast, feel free to reach out. I've got a, I feel it's a really nice studio here in Tech Artista now that is available for people to rent, and you know, if they want full podcast production, I can do that for you as well.
Yeah, very neat little spot here, and yeah, I think that would be cool to I've had people offer me different stuff to record various places, and I don't know, I like being, I feel like, one, it gets, I get a lot better guests, and just for the flexibility of knowing that a band is a lot of times four or five members of a band who all have crazy schedules, kids, wives, whatever, you know, date jobs, whatever is going on. And, you know, we all have something. And so in order to get all of us in the same room together to sit and record, I feel like it's easiest for me to, like, go to band practice a lot or various things like that. So most of my show is done on the road. So I like that element of it, I, you know, this would be something cool if I could get to that point where I can just keep in studio and
I mean, it'd be tough to get a 4 or 5 person band in this room. I mean, it's good size, we can do 4 comfortably,
right?
But yeah, you get a big group, and like you said, if they're all local and they got families and stuff like that, the only times that group is together is to practice or play a show, so you pretty much have to go to them for your show.
What would you offer, any advice for, somebody wanting to get started? I mean, do you, anything you've learned, do's and don'ts,
Yeah, I would definitely say just kind of grab a mic, plug it into your computer, and just open up Audacity and just kind of start talking. Mm-hmm. You know, come up with some things that you'd like to talk about and just kind of discuss with that, or get, you know, get a friend and kind of like bat around some different ideas and just have conversations. You can be as serious with it and prepare as much as you want or as little as you want, and you know, you can still have great conversations.
Right. I get a lot of people asking me, like, what are we going to talk about, or what are we, you know, what are, it's like, there are no rules. I mean, podcasting is a very open form, you know. So I went and saw Kevin Smith one night at over at the Pageant. He did a, you know, one-man show type of deal, but then he also opened it up to Q&A. And just that moment, that evening, really affected me, especially as a podcaster. A lot of his questions were revolved around podcasting, which I found very interesting for a guy who's made a career as one of the, you know, very successful filmmaker. And everybody wanted to talk about podcasting.
Yeah, so it seems like more people know him now from podcasting than they do from film work.
Right.
I can't even think of the last movie that he's released.
Yeah.
Well, but I think about his podcast all the time.
Yeah. He did a one, which is all started from the podcast, but he did a movie called Tusk. And that was, I guess there was some kind of a news article that came out, and he thought it was an interesting type of idea. I think it was like some kind of a fake, but anyway, he thought it was an interesting idea, and he put it out on the show. Hey, would you like to see a movie based around this? Tweet in Tusk, yes or no, or whatever it was, you know, so kind of thing. So anyway, everybody, you know, wrote in, yeah, we want to see that. And so he's like, all right. So he went and made the movie, but it's a wild, crazy movie. I don't know if you ever got to
heard of it. Is that the one with the cat?
No, it's okay. Based around Justin Long.
Okay.
He's the main character in the movie. And, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if anybody hasn't seen it. I won't spoil too much of it, but...
Spoiler alert.
But yeah, he's also a podcaster in the movie, which I found is interesting, too, because I actually used that clip. There's a clip in the movie where he's talking to this older man that he... And he's like, yeah, I'm a podcaster. And he's like, what? You know, and he's like, yeah.
He's what's
like,
that?
Yeah, he's like, and he kind of laughs, and he's like, yeah, my mom says that too. You know, he's like, it's like a radio show, but it's on the internet, you know. And then so, like, and he goes, it sounds like this. And they cut, in the movie, they cut to a scene from them in the studio, in their podcast studio. Haley Joel Osment is his co-host.
From Sixth Sense.
Yeah, so... I use that clip. I cut it, and I use it on my my show as my intro. And this where he's like, you know, podcast sounds like this, and it goes into my, hey, this is, you know, you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. And so, but yeah, I mean, it all started with that, and like, but just it's a wild movie. But I just thought that was crazy that all started out of podcasting as well, but it led into his film work. But anyway, that night. Listening to Kevin tell some of the stories about that, like about that movie, and also a movie he did with, that movie in Tusk, like telling a story about him and Johnny Depp's daughters go to the same school.
Okay.
And they're actually like gas station attendants in the movie in Tusk. So it was kind of crazy that, like, so he's like talking about hanging out with Johnny Depp on set as their daughters were acting. It was like their acting debut in the movie. And then that led into him having this building a relationship with Johnny Depp and getting him on another movie. And so he was, I think it was Red State was that movie.
Okay.
And he plays like some kind of a... They're all like... Actually, all these three movies, like there's like a series. They're all like in the same world kind of a type of deal. So... But anyway, yeah, it's just it's kind of crazy all hearing some of these stories for the first time from Kevin Smith on.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I'm sure he's got some stories he could talk about.
Yeah, but he was telling, the reason I brought all that up was like on that night he was telling about podcasting. People were asking about it, and he was like, you know, get out there and do it. He's like, it's you know, free or very inexpensive to start. You know, you don't need much, and he's like, get out and do it while you can, because it's, you know, unmonitored right now, or not, you know, there's very little anything regulating any of it. So he's like, get out and have some fun with it and talk, and for him, it's all, he likes to do a lot more now with his mother and family and friends and stuff. So, and he was telling something that really hit me was, he said, in the brain, the sound of someone's voice is usually one of the first memories to go. And so he wants to have all these recordings of like his mother and stuff, and then to preserve all these conversations, and, you know, and have that for whenever, you know, he's gone or she's gone or whatever happens, he'll have all these conversations, you know, preserved with her voice. So I mean, it really struck a chord with me, and I was like, man, you know, it's really something powerful we're doing here with the podcasting, mm-hmm. and what we and I'm kind of opened my mind to what we could do with it also. Like, mine's always, like I said again, with music and comedy, but I always wanted to do more. Now it's opened my mind to where I want to do more with my friends and family and stuff. So
yeah, you know, kind of talking a little bit more about that point. You know, I've done over 300 and some odd episodes of podcasts now, and looking back while you were talking about that story, I was kind of thinking back through quickly my guest list for all the different shows, and I do have one guest that has passed away.
Yeah.
And, you know, he passed away, I think it was earlier in 2016. Yeah. So I mean, that discussion with him is still there. I think, mm-hmm. I've got two interviews with him that I can always go back to, sure. And listen to. And
yeah, I have one comes to mind, an artist. He was, you know, end of his 70s. But he passed, and it's like I, once he, you know, everything had surfaced and stuff on the internet and things, I shared it again, and I was like, you know, I know it's tough, but I mean, I think I'd rather people listen to the, I mean, I'm not trying to like capitalize off of his death or anything, but right. It was like, I was like, let's remember a happier time with him and like listen to what, you know, he's talking about music, something he's really passionate about, and we're having a great conversation and time recording that and stuff. So like, let's listen to that instead of, and not focus on the sadness that is, right. You know, the, revolved around the death. So I mean,
TV news stations do that all the time. Yeah, you know, they'll right. close out an episode of the news with something.
Yeah.
Some short little speech or something.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. I encourage a lot of people to take up podcasting and give it a try. And, you know, I feel like if you got something to say, or, you know, people that, you know, that you want to have on the show or whatever, however you want to do it. But there are no rules. You can, you know, do whatever you want. So
yeah, I mean, it's given me the opportunity to talk to people that, yeah, I normally wouldn't get to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I used to do a lot of guests, you know, online, so we'd do like Skype calls or Google Hangouts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I like in-person conversations overall better.
Oh yeah.
But you know, for everything VR and AR, that those are all via Skype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's I don't know, have the facts, but there has been proven. You know, there's a study that a conversation with people in a, you know, in the same room, that you almost like connect on a, like a certain wavelength. There's an energy that builds and stuff, you know, that all gets lost over the internet. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you, I've tried to listen, even some of those are hard for me to listen to over, cause like through Skype or whatever it is, just because there is that moment of delay or whatever, you know, there's just that disconnect. And so It's like, it's, there is something about, being, you know, in person with somebody, having that conversation and recording that, because, and I've done all ever since the very beginning. That's the way I've always done them. And but yeah, there is a science to it, even that. So
I can get distracted. I don't know if I've just never been diagnosed with ADD or something like that. But yeah, man, that whole thing about squirrel, you know, bright light. Yeah, that happens to me.
Right.
More so when it comes to those online, mm-hmm. because that person's just not here, and we're not, you know, making eye contact and feeding off each other's energy. And one of the things with Who's Who in St. Lucia, I just try to make people comfortable and relax and say, hey, there's nothing, just because that mic's in front of you, don't be nervous.
Right.
Because you're not talking to, you are talking to an audience. I mean, I know most people are afraid of public speaking. I've done a few presentations since I've been podcasting that I wouldn't normally have done before. But yeah, podcasting has helped me ease those nerves to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're still talking to people from all over the world, or stop talking to people all over the world, but they're just not in the room with you.
Yeah.
And it blew my brother-in-law's mind when we were talking about it when he was in town from Idaho. And he's like, tell me more about this podcast stuff. And I said, okay. So I pulled up the statistics through Libsyn, who host our audio files. And I said, look at this. We'll go to the geography statistics of where everybody's listening to. You know, you might only have one or two listens from some random country in the Middle East or over in Asia. He's like, oh my God. So yeah, I don't know if they listened for 5 seconds or if they listened to the entire episode, but still somebody thought enough to click on that link.
Yeah.
That was for me. And they heard my voice all over the world. And that in itself is just amazing to me.
Right. Yeah. I kind of had that moment in my kitchen the other day. I was, you know, working on posting a episode. I'm sitting on my, you know, wireless laptop on the Wi-Fi. And I'm like, it's going from my laptop in my kitchen, you know, no wires, to the internet, to your ears, in a matter of seconds,
mm-hmm.
anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's pretty wild to think about that we have that kind of power and control of to do that kind of stuff. You know, it's just like, so it, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, just talking over Skype to people in the UK, it is really amazing,
mm-hmm.
to know that we can actually have good conversations that are fairly clear for, you know, when you consider the time and distance.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, it's all based on the connections, be the how successful and good the audio quality is actually going to be.
Yeah. I've heard, you know, it makes me laugh when I've heard people complain about a phone call or text that, like, you know, is, you know, well, why isn't the text here yet? I sent it or what, you know, it's like, yeah, but it, you know, that's going to like space and coming back. Like,
yeah. You
know, it's
like, you do realize everything that goes into those little digits getting, bits getting from device to device.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just funny hearing people complain about technology. I mean, granted, we do live in that, you know, era where everything is.
Yeah, we want it now. Yeah. We want it now. Right. And we tend to take things for granted when I don't think people think enough about it. It's like, man, there's a lot really goes into this stuff. And when it doesn't work, it's like, yeah, get a little frustrated.
Yeah.
You're just so used to it just working.
Yeah. Well, as a tech guy and a fan, what is one of the your what would you consider your favorite gadget or whatever over your lifetime that you probably use most in your daily life and stuff?
Obviously, it's going to be a smartphone, and that's just going to depend on what I'm carrying at the time. Like I mentioned, I was never really a big Apple person. Kind of as, you know, smartphones were advancing, I didn't get my first smartphone until 2010, and that was an Android device, HTC Desire, on the now, to me, it's just a defunct U.S. Cellular because they're not in the area anymore. So Android was kind of like my first smartphone love. I always admired the BlackBerry Pearl and BlackBerry Curve for the devices that they were. They looked really awesome, but I never had one. And, you know, now I've got an iPhone 6 Plus, I've got an Android Nexus 6P, and then the Lumia 950 Windows Mobile. And I kind of like them all fairly equally. I would say the 950 is the kind of the child that's just, I don't give you as much attention. but what Apple does with the interaction between the Mac and the iPhone, it's good. I was primarily a Windows Android guy for years and got my first Mac in the beginning of 2015 and my first iPhone about a month after that. I was like, wow, stuff's not bad.
Yeah.
But I understood reasons why everybody liked them. I was never a platform I wanted to get myself into.
Mm-hmm. The iPod is one that blows my mind, that like the fact that you took, years ago would be an entire room of records or hard drives or whatever, but now
it's on this little bitty device in your pocket.
Yeah, you can fit it. You can fit 30,000 songs in your pocket, and it's like, it's crazy that that the technology shrunk down that small to where that we're able to make that possible.
So. Yeah, it's one of the lines that I remember from that movie Jobs that came out last year. That was one of the things on top of the roof. He's talking to his daughter. She's frustrated with him. She's leaving one of the big press unveilings or Apple events. He's like, I'm getting ready with this device right here. I'm going to be putting your entire music collection in your pocket on this little device. Like, that's pretty impressive. I mean, yeah, and it happened. They changed the world in regards to that.
Yeah.
How we consume music and even podcasts.
Sure.
I mean, they essentially didn't invent them, but they made podcasts what they are today.
Yeah, definitely made it a lot more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you can put it on an iPod and take it to go and listen wherever. So
stream it in your car while you're out walking around or sitting here getting work done or whatever you're doing.
I don't know. The phones are pretty wild. The fact that the what they're capable of, you know, they're essentially a mini computer. You can do almost anything. Edit and record and just.
Yeah, I can shoot an entire video, edit it, add music, add art, and it's text. It's crazy what you can do from a smartphone.
I know there's a band, Vintage Trouble. They have a video, and it's like, this is a little while back, but I think it was on the iPhone 4s at the time, but they recorded the entire music video on iPhone 4s.
Wow.
And it looks great. You know, mm-hmm. like you can't tell that it. You know, I mean, I guess if you're super into it, you probably yeah. could. But I mean, the fact that like it looks like a great music video,
yeah.
and they did it all on cell phones, so yeah,
it's
like
not professionally recorded,
yeah. right? But they can do it. That's what's in made. You know, it's crazy that for especially for people doing a lot of these, you know, DIY or music and whatever it is, but it's made a lot of these things a lot more possible.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that people can get creative for more of a reasonable budget instead of trying to always get some pros to do it and stuff. So
yeah, I mean, you can record 4K and 1080p video right on your phone, sometimes yeah. with the front-facing camera.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I would have never imagined when I was like 5 and stuff, kindergarten, coloring sure. and stuff like that, that I'd ever have a device that could do something like that. I mean, the Nintendo, when it came out in 1985, and playing Super Mario Brothers, I thought, oh, that was just then. Oh, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to top this. And things have just kept getting better.
Yeah. I think that's what's kind of funny about, Back to the Future, or
gotta love that.
Yeah, sure, it's great. Oh, man, but though, in that movie, you know, the writers and stuff, a lot of that, like, they were kind of making up stuff, you know, or you know, whatever, even before that. But they were like making up things that, like, oh, that, wouldn't it be crazy if they had this? And then like, now we have that. You know, mm-hmm. it's like it's nuts that movies like that have like inspired other people to actually make it a possible yeah. reality, you know?
This is, all you got to do is just look back, especially at the original Star Trek series. You know, the little communicators and stuff like that, and phasers, right. and yeah. I mean, I think, what was it? There's always that image that pops around on the internet of Captain Picard from Next Generation. And he's kind of using an iPad-like device. Right? And now we got iPads and stuff like that, these tablets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think movies and TV shows from back, you know, back in the day, they like to say,
right.
kind of inspires people to, well, that looks pretty cool. Let's make that a reality for everybody else.
Right.
Yeah. You know, smartwatches and fitness bands.
Sure.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. That, well, now they're making, I mentioned the Back to the Future, but they're making those self-lacing Nikes
yeah.
Reality.
Yeah, they're doing
now.
That.
So. Yeah.
Check it out.
Right, yeah. I don't
think it's what, come out holiday season this year, 2016, I think.
Yeah,
they're
something
gonna,
like that.
I have some available.
I don't know that I, you know, who needs that, but yeah. I think it's funny that they made it a possibility.
You get to be my age, you can't bend over as well. So I can't tie your shoes.
Right, yeah.
So let's push a button. Tink. Yeah. Shoes are tied.
Yeah. So, So we got you. Where can you find your Who's Who in St. Louis?
Well, if you were interested in that show and you want to get on, check it out on the website, you just simply go to whostl.com. Available on, you know, Facebook and Twitter. You can always connect with me there. I like Twitter the most. Mm-hmm. So personally, you can find me on Twitter at Kevin Harvell, and that's with two L's. Or, I mean, if you are really interested in the whole podcast space and the studio and stuff like that, stltechmedia.com has all that information there.
Yeah. And then past episodes of Tech Informist are...
Yeah, they're at techinformist.com.
Yeah, if they want to go through some back catalog stuff.
Yeah, yeah, we just released a new episode of that today, actually, before you got here.
Yeah.
So we recorded, you know, today's been a busy day.
I've
recorded, I'm wrapping up now. This will be my fourth podcast that I've been involved in
right.
just today.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, man.
Yeah, so one of Tech Informist, everything VRAR, Who's Who in St. Louis, and now being a guest on Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah, man, that's a good day.
The busy day, yeah. And still got some work to do, but
right.
it's okay. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. That's all I can say about it.
Sure. Do you have any particular goals or anything looking forward to in 2016 with the show or personal goals for yourself? And
you know, I'd love to get some sponsors. And, you know, I'm not really the marketing person. I don't have a marketing background at all. I mean, I spent 14 and a half years working at Chrysler. I'm an auto worker.
Yeah.
So I'm just a, you know, a laborer, as you used to say, but I'm actually kind of glad in a way that worked out for me to make that transition, because I would probably still be there because of the pay and the benefits, but I'm enjoying doing what I do now more than I ever did mm-hmm. working at Chrysler, even though I'm not making as much. I don't have the same health care.
Yeah.
I'm a lot happier
sure.
by doing what I do. So,
I still work my day job for a school district. I do mm-hmm. custodial work. And but at least that with having a set schedule, I've been able to do the podcasting in the evening yeah. after I get off of work and stuff. So I kind of get the best of both worlds. I get the pay, the benefits, and all that from the day job, but I get to do the creativity stuff in the evening like this. But I also I hope to someday make that transition to where I can, you know, do this and get paid to be, you know.
Yeah, and I hope you do. Yeah. I mean, it's you definitely got a heck of a catalog. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm I don't know. I'm just trying to get as much out there as I can. And I take them all very seriously and think, and it's not like I do it just to you know, have content or whatever. They're all a part of me and the show and stuff, but I do definitely you know, take a lot of pride in being able to produce as much as I have and stuff. So
yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, you know, I'm still learning every day. There was an episode of Tech Informist within the last 2 months that I forgot to change a setting in Audacity to use the mixer and these mics,
mm-hmm.
and they recorded the three of us in this very room with just the microphone on this Mac.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I've been doing this stuff for over 2 years, and I sure. still screw up.
Yeah.
This one, it's okay, so don't feel bad.
Don't
worry. This one's all right.
You yeah. you ever lose any of them? Like, have you or
the No, but I will tell you kind of a funny story with Jeff Nations when he was on.
Yeah.
That it was kind of the same thing. It was recording with this. It was 30 minutes in. I'm like, wait a second, something don't look right here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we had to start over and do that entire episode. And
yeah,
I have never lost an entire episode. No.
Yeah, I did one with these guys, Visionary Media. They're doing a lot of video work for St. Louis Music, trying to just do all they can to help provide a quality product for a reasonable price and mm-hmm. for a lot of these bands. And they we sat with them in a restaurant, and then even that, like, it was like, it was cool, but it was also like a lot of background noise. And anyway, I got going and my computer crashed, like when I tried to save it, something happened or whatever, and then I lost it all, and I'm like, oh man, you know. It's like,
I guess the worst thing, I mean, I've had to skip an episode, and I wouldn't say it's because we lost the recording. It's just I had some electrical interference,
mm-hmm.
Just, I guess, some dirty electric, and it was getting some popping into it. And after, like, the third time before I could really figure out what was causing it, I said, hell with it. I'm like, I'm not putting this out there again.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, as great a discussion as it was, I'm like, I can't handle the popping.
Sure.
So I'm like, no, I'm not putting it out there.
Yeah.
To the point now, I've got a standard of quality that I try to shoot for, and I just want things to sound as good as possible.
Yeah. I did one of these as I was upstairs at the bootleg with Hillary Fitz as another band was sound checking downstairs. And at first, it wasn't too bad. You could hear a little bit of background music, and it was kind of nice, but then they went like full band. Like, it wasn't just, like, tuning a saxophone and stuff. It was guitars, drums, and everybody's going. And it got really loud in there. And so that episode, I ended up cutting, like, the worst of it out. But, like, I was like, yeah, you know, I put a little in the intro. I was like, this one's
a little disclaimer.
A little rough, but I felt it was worthy enough to still air. But it's going to cut off pretty abruptly at the end because it got super loud then. So I was like, I'm not going to. But yeah, you got to think about it. You don't want to put out something that's not quality, because especially if it's somebody's first time hearing it,
yeah.
They're like, oh man, that's what this show's like. And
yeah, I mean, I can turn a show off just like that, however, for whatever various reasons, something kind of like nails on a chalkboard or something. But yeah. I think as long as you've got some good content, listeners that are enjoy the show, mm-hmm. they'll overlook some things. And I'm sure people would have overlooked and still listened to that one episode that I just said hell with it. But, like, no, I can't keep doing that to you all.
Well, I mean, I'll listen to, like, Nerdist or something, and, like, I hear even imperfections in their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're at, like, almost 800 episodes of Nerdist.
Yeah, they've done a few.
Yeah, and you know, still, like, even in a studio setting, there's still imperfections and things. So it's, like, to think that, like, I'm able to pull off something fairly close to quality from my setup with no budget and everything, and then I'm, you know, that makes me pretty proud. Like, yeah. So obviously there's always room for improvements, but you know, like I always try to make that comparison. At least there are, you know, it's something kind of close. I mean, there's always,
it's just fun.
Yeah,
and just again, like I mentioned earlier, just keep plugging away.
Sure, man.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. Well, cool, Kevin. I thank you so much for taking some time out to hang, man. This has been cool.
Thanks for having me. It's like, wow, I'm 225.
Yeah. So, yeah, come check out Kevin's show. Follow him on do you have an official Facebook page for the Who's Who?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/WhoSTL podcast.
Yeah.
Or just simply WhoSTL.
Yeah.
Yeah, shame on me. I should really know that. But one of the two, you'll find it.
And then you can listen to it on whostl.com, mm-hmm. you said, and, of course, about any of the podcast apps out there.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, this has been awesome.
It's been a pleasure, Shane.
Thanks. And, so if you're hearing this and you want to hear myself on Kevin's show.
Yeah, we just wrap that up as well.
Yeah, it's essentially part two. So if you're hearing one of the other, go back and listen to the other episode.
Yeah,
so,
it was completely different discussions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind
same
of
two people.
It's kind of I don't get to do it often, so it was interesting for me to be on your show, to be on the other side of the mic, and I'm sure
it is. I love being a guest. It's stressful, but it's more relaxing because I know I don't have to lead the discussion.
Yeah.
I can just sit back and answer and respond.
Sure.
It's cool.
Yeah, man. Well, I guess that's about it.
All right.
Thanks again, Kevin, and hopefully I'll see you soon.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks, man.